What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is so good to be with you on this Friday. We are absolutely loaded. I mean, absolutely loaded. There is so much show today. I could probably slam two full shows into one show. So let's not waste any time with it. Let's get right at it. The Friday episode brought to you by Quicken Loans, of course. We are in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to have you here. The sun is out. We're drying out here in SoCal. It's good to be here. I've got four big interviews. The week that was, the ATP, your telephone calls, and lots of content on my end. So let's get started. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Toll free. Use it. Get in here. 1-800-636-8686. You want to get in early. The second half of the program is backloaded. It's going to be very difficult to get through if you try later on. Do not wait on this. Call me right now. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitake.com. Go jack up my Facebook page. Hit me up on Instagram. You know how it is. You know how this thing goes. You know the platforms. You know where to find me. Lots of different ways to get involved. In terms of the interviews, some really good interviews today, starting with the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team. Yes, I said it. Not only are we talking soccer, I am talking to the new head coach of the U.S. men's national team, Greg Berhalter. He joins me in 15 minutes. I'm looking forward to that. And I said that too. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a good conversation. That's coming up next segment. Coming up in hour number two, the Clippers having a big year. Forward Tobias Harris, jungle favorite. In the second hour, Joe Montana, freaking Joe if you need him, four-time Super Bowl champ, joins us in hour number three. Denver Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall, Greg Berhalter, Tobias Harris, Joe Montana, Brandon Marshall. Can I get a freaking deck of yeah, Alvin, please? Now it's official. Now it's Friday. Good to be with you. All right, now normally I lead the program with the biggest story. I'll talk about that. I'll throw in some highlights. We get that thing rolling. Today, I'm not going to do it like that. Today, I'm not going to say Jack. Today, I am just going to play this.
Mariota gives it to Henry. Henry bounces it outside. 5, 10, 15, stiff arm. 20, 25, 30, 40, stiff arm. 50, 40. Big chase, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Titans, 99 yards! The longest run in franchise history! And the Titans are up by 11!
Derek freaking Henry, Titans freaking radio. There are touchdown runs, and then there is that touchdown run. I mean, really, it's hard to even find the words to describe something like that. At some point, I should probably tell you the final score of that game, but it really doesn't matter. In fact, if you don't mind, can you run that back one more time?
Henry bounces it outside. 5, 10, 15, stiff arm. 20, 25, 30, 40, stiff arm. 50, 40, 30. He's on his feet. Big chase. 20, 15, 10.
Makes me laugh every single time because there's nothing more glorious nor more humiliating than a good stiff arm. I mean, I'll be honest, there are a bunch of other topics that I could talk about today. I've got four interviews. I've got a packed show, but I've got no problem clearing the deck and talking about that run for 3 hours because a run like that does not come along very often. Let me break this down very quickly. What is the best part about that run? Is it when there's a little bit of contact at the line of scrimmage and for a moment it seems like he might be stopped for a 2-yard gain? Or is it when he cuts out to the left and he picks up that first down? That was nice. Get the offense some breathing room. Get it off your own goal line. It's a good start to a drive. But then it quickly escalates. A.J. Boye, a Pro Bowl corner, and by all accounts, a solid human being, comes up to make a stop, and he regrets it immediately. Henry hits him with a stiff arm that lifts him up off the ground and drives him back 5 yards. An all-pro corner being treated like a gnat. Get the hell off me, AJ. Have some. Get off me. And then, sure, yeah, Henry got a piece of Boyer's face mask. Exactly what is your point? Are you looking for a flag there? I wasn't. I doubt Boyer was either. He was looking for the ground because his feet were leaving it. And before you call that stiff arm disrespectful, understand that it wasn't. It was actually very respectful because Henry picked this cat back up and put him back on the ground when he was done with him. If Henry wanted that to be worse, it would have been. He would have left AJ Boyer in a hole around the 20-yard line. If he wanted to, he would have. And then the run would have been great if it stopped right there. But it didn't. It only got better because somehow, some way, after chucking Boyer aside, he finds another gear and he picks up speed. Linebacker Leon Jacobs was next to make a huge mistake. He also tried to tackle Henry. Big, big mistake. Now, he's a rookie from Wisconsin, so that tells us a couple of things. Number one, he's smart. He's got heart. He's not going to go down without a fight. Unfortunately, Derrick Henry ragdolled him out of the way after about 5 yards of scuffling with him. Look, I admire Leon's heart and his grit for trying to take down that monster, but it just was not happening. Then Miles Jack took his shot, and that went about as well as, well, every other shot went. It went horribly. He was on the wrong end of another Henry stiff arm. And just when it seemed like it was just Derrick Henry and the goal line and there would not be any more stiff arms, there was one more. Because after the whole ordeal was over, Darren Revelle tweeted, quote, "Please don't call that one of the best runs in NFL history. If you call it anything, call it one of the worst tackling jobs." To which the Titans team account responded with, and I quote, "Shut up, nerd."
Nerd!
In all caps, "Shut up, nerd."
Nerd!
Now that's
nerd!
The most vicious stiff arm of the entire
nerd!
Night.
Nerd! Nerd!
They rolled up Revelle in a carpet and threw him off a bridge. And if that was the only thing that Henry did all night, it would have been legendary. But it wasn't. There was this.
Mariota in the gun. Gives it to Henry at left guard. Pounding and driving into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans!
That's a career night with those two scores. But that's not all. He also did this.
Give it to Henry at right guard. Booming forward. 10, 5, end zone! The Yulee Hornet! Touchdown, Titans! He is running all over his hometown team.
You know, at that point, I think I tweeted, somebody's got to pull this guy off of the Jags. At that point, he's had about as good a night as anybody could ever have. But wait, there was even more.
Going to give it to the big man. He comes back to the right. He's got the 50, the 45, the 40, the 35, the 30, the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5, the end zone, 54 yards. Derrick Henry, touchdown, Titans. He nearly took that one all the way to Franklin.
54 yards. He had a 99-yard score. This was against one of the alleged best defenses in the NFL. Like I said, I could talk about that run that night for all 3 hours. When it was all said and done, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns on only 17 carries. It's incredible. I'd say that those are video game numbers, but they're not. If you did that against one of your boys, he would have thrown the controller and unplugged the Xbox before you got to 200 yards in the game. As Deion Lewis said, quote, "They didn't want to tackle him. They're scared of him. They didn't want nothing to do with him today. He was on fire. They didn't want to tackle him, and he was running hard, aggressive, and physical. It was fun to be a part of history," end quote. That must have been fun. Hey, but don't take it from me. Ask Jags safety, Tashawn Gibson, Jr. He said, and I quote, "I've never been a part of a guy running like that. I mean, it was like Little League out there. Every time he touched the ball, he was scoring, it felt like. He could have run for 300 on us today, if we're being honest. If I was his coach, I would have let him break the record," end quote. Man, Gibson is a proud dude, a guy who plays with some serious physicality. He even said on this show how much it bothered him when the Titans out-toughed the Jags in the past. And now he's admitting they had no answers for this guy. He's saying they couldn't have done anything to stop him. He's saying that if he were the coach, he would have let this guy run for 3 bills. That is the ultimate sign of respect from an extremely proud guy. Now, there is one final topic about the night that Derrick Henry had and that run that he had that I want to get into. The inevitable comparisons to Marshawn Lynch. Now, let's go back. I want you to watch this one more time. Here is Derrick Henry.
Henry bounces it outside. 5, 10, 15, stiff arm. 20, 25, 30, 40, stiff arm. 50, 40, 30. He's on his feet. Big chase. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Titans, 99 yards! The longest run in franchise history.
No doubt, one of the best efforts and best runs I've ever seen in my life. No doubt about it. However, are you going to come up in here and tell me that it was as good or better than this?
Goes in motion right to left. Turn and handle into left side. Finds a little bit of a hole. Keeps his legs moving. He's across the 40. Midfield. 45. He's on the run, Lynch. 40. Pushes him at 35. Look at him go. He's down to 20. 15. He could go. He is going to go. Touchdown, Seahawks. Oh, my word. A 67-yard run. Marshawn Lynch, unbelievable. He must have knocked five guys down on the way to the end zone. The beast is alive and well.
All right, so if there was a topic, if ever there was, or a lame Twitter poll, it would be this. Which run was better? I'll take your calls on that. And we could argue which was better. And we could do the entire hour on that. Let me make it simple for you, because we're not going to do that. Derrick Henry's run last night was awesome. It was not Marshawn Lynch. I know Henry's run was longer. Lynch's was better. More vicious, more violent, more amazing. Henry's run was incredible. One of the best I've ever seen. I'm not taking anything at all away from him. I'm just giving it back to the beast mode. I'm giving it back to Lynch. No run has ever been in that class, and I'm not sure any run will ever be in that class. That said, I never thought that I would see a run that I would even compare to Marshawn Lynch's. So even being in the conversation, even being nominated is an honor, and it's a great, great feather in this guy's cap. It's awesome. Just don't tell me it's better than Marshawn Lynch. Don't tell me it's as good as Marshawn Lynch. Nothing is. Nothing is. But they have themselves a night. I need an entire take for Jacksonville. Man, Jacksonville, how do I put this? How do I put this? What is a diplomatic way for me to put this? They're trash. Man, they're disappointing. It's been a long time since I've seen a team that disappointing in the NFL. All of that is still ahead. I've got Tobias Harris next hour. I've got Joe Montana next hour. I've got Brandon Marshall in hour number three. I've got about eight awesome takes. But when we come back, we are talking soccer. Not just soccer. We are talking to the coach of the U.S. men's national team. Greg Berhalter is my guest. And that's next. You know, there is something to be said for being the best. When you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition, elite athletes know you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. To be the man, you have to beat the man. So if you want to compete at the highest level, you've got to be strong and you've got to stay strong, just like Castrol Edge. The strongest, full synthetic motor oil, engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction to maximize engine performance. Did you know friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? Let me give you an analogy. Imagine you're lined up across the ball from somebody else. That guy's at 100%. You're at 90. He's going to punch you in the head. You're going down. He's got the advantage. Castrol Edge, however, is strong under pressure. It reduces friction. That way your engine can perform at its highest level. So not only strong, but three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. How do I know that? Because my man Kurt Orban tested it.
Kurt Orban.
He proved it. Castrol Edge. It keeps you living on the edge and performing at the highest level. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Once again, very busy Friday. Great to be with you. I'm Jim Rome. So, what's a good way to start the weekend? We go into the weekend by talking soccer. Not only talking soccer, but by talking to the head coach of the U.S. men's national team. He was introduced as the new head coach on Tuesday. 44 caps with the men's national team, including two World Cups. First U.S. men's national team head coach to have played for the U.S. in a World Cup. 18-year professional career, captain of two European clubs, MSL Supporters Shield, and MSL Cup winner. We are joined right now by the head coach of the U.S. Men's National Team, Greg Berhalter. Greg, it is so good to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Jim?
Good.
Nice to hear from you.
Good. Great to talk to you, Greg. Now, this is something that's been rumored for quite some time and then was finally made official on Tuesday. So first off, what have the last few days been like for you, and how does it feel to be the U.S. Men's National Team head coach?
Well, you know, the best way I can describe it is it's a tremendous honor. Having played for the country, I understand the importance of the team and understand where it fits in global soccer. But it also is a big responsibility, and I'm excited to get to work, excited to work with this group of players and see what we can achieve together.
Greg, I got to be honest, it's actually a little bit surreal to me because it feels like it was not that long ago that you were in Southern California and we were in the stands together watching our kids play Little League Baseball. But then at the same time, everybody knows how smart, focused, and hardworking you are. So let me ask you, does it feel at all surreal to you, or does this feel completely normal, like this was the plan all along?
I think when you make the transition from a player to the coach, from a player to a coach, you want to do your best, and you don't know exactly what's going to come. You know, my focus is on the daily, is on doing the best I can each and every day, and then things like this happen. You know, it is a great feeling, and again, a tremendous honor.
Greg Berhalter is my guest. I wonder about the process. Like, for instance, the job had been open for more than a year, and at least from the outside, it feels like you had done a really good job of shutting out the rumors and doing exactly what you just said, focusing on the daily. But when your name first started to be mentioned as a candidate, what was that like for you?
You know, it was flattering. You know, that's when it starts to be set in and say, hey, I may be a potential candidate for this job. You know, obviously a mentor of mine was the former coach, Bruce Arena. And, you know, to fill a role that he occupied is also an honor. But it was keeping the group focused, keeping my team focused. And, you know, we wanted to achieve a lot this season with Columbus. And it was, again, just focusing the group on what we can do today.
Greg Berhalter is my guest. All right, so you're from New Jersey. And as some people know, you're also the godson of Carl Yastrzemski. So you're still really young, but the soccer landscape in America has changed a lot since you were starting out at Union County Sport Club and then dominating at St. Benedict's in Newark. For example, MLS had not even started yet. So when you were playing in high school, what kind of a vision did you have for yourself as a career and as a player?
You know, I think it was one of those things where you just do it. You don't even think about it. I said I was really determined to be a professional, even though that route was seldom taken by American players. I wanted to go to Europe, and I just worked every day to get there. You know, it was something where you don't quite know what you're doing when you're doing it, and then somehow it works out.
Listen, going to Europe is one thing, but going when you went is another. For instance, you went to North Carolina, and then you left early to go play in Europe. That's a really big leap, a big step into the unknown. What was it like to make that decision, and why did you feel like that was the right one for you in the right time?
You know, I think it was all about, I'm a firm believer in, you know, a player needs to be continually challenged by games. And I felt at the time that college soccer wasn't challenging me anymore. And I had to take a new challenge. You know, thankfully, my college coach, Elmar Bolowicz, was very supportive of the move and urged me to go. And it was a case where I went to Holland, and all of a sudden the level was better, and I had to grow as a player, and I had to improve.
Greg Berhalter is my guest. So what about that experience? Specifically, going to play in the Netherlands, how different was that from what you had experienced prior to that? And then what was that like?
So it was amazing. What I'll say is that it was a very good time for Dutch soccer, and Dutch people are very thorough. They're very intelligent about speaking about the game. I felt like I was at college all over again in terms of soccer college. It was, you know, continued discussions about how the game should be played, and playing with the caliber of players there was really a great starting point for my career.
So, Greg, legend has it that you kept detailed notes from training sessions, even going back to your time in Holland. Knowing that, when did you first start thinking about coaching?
You know, I think it was something where I did start early on, just thinking about my how to form my ideas of how the game should be played and how I see a team playing. I don't think that necessarily meant I knew I was going to be a coach, but I wanted to get my ideas down. I wanted to take information in. I thought that was important for me to continue to learn the game of soccer.
Yeah, this is something you can relate to. When you were back in Southern California, sometimes you and I would watch these games, and we would just talk sports. We would just talk about other games, other matchups. And when I do this show, even to this day, Greg, the one thing that keeps coming up over and over again is culture. Every coach in every sport talks about culture and identity. And in some ways, I would imagine for what you're doing right now, it's got to be trickier with the national team because you've got guys, but you won't have them week in and week out. And there's going to be gaps when they go back to their club teams. So how do you go about identifying or developing a culture and an identity?
No, that's exactly right, Jim. That is a challenge of the national team. You don't have the players every day. I think, you know, one thing I've learned about creating a culture is consistency of the messaging. You know, the staff really needs to embody the culture and it really needs to start within the staff. And then you need to be consistent with the messages. The players need to continue to be reinforced with the proper behavior and what you want to embody as a group. So that is something I've thought about, and you know, it's also conversations with the guys outside of camp. It's many contact points as you can get throughout the year.
All right, so when people think of the men's national team under Greg Berhalter, what do you want them to think of first? How is this team going to play?
So the first thing I want a team that's going to compete. You know, you have enough experience with high-level sports that you know competing is you know, three-quarters of the battle. But then I want us to be prepared. I want us to have a distinct playing style that is identifiable when you turn on the TV. And I want us to be an attacking team and an attractive team to watch. You know, I believe in the talent of these guys. And I think, you know, America wants nothing more to be proud of their team and see a team that can hurt other teams and play good soccer.
We're talking to Greg Berhalter for a few more moments. All right, what about America? What about the sport and where things stand right now? One of the things that you did as part of the interview process was talk about where U.S. soccer stands in the world right now. Where do you see the U.S. standing? And then how do you go about addressing and improving that?
So, you know, we took a step back, a little step back by not qualifying, but that doesn't mean, you know, we can't get back to where we belong. I think there's a bright future in our youth. And when I look at the team right now, it's a young team. When I look at the players coming up in the academy systems and the youth soccer league, you know, it's really improving. We have a diverse athlete group that's competing right now. And, you know, what I see is that we're going to be back to where we belong. You know, it is a good generation, and I think we can get there.
Greg Berhalter is my guest. You know, Greg, when you look at what you have here, left back is a spot that always gets talked about, especially as it relates to depth. So when you look at the challenges that come along with this job and this team, what do you focus on the most?
So, you know, that is a concern, that position. I think we have a couple veterans who can fill that role right now. We have a player or two coming through the youth ranks that are very young that can fill that role. But, you know, the way I see it is the strength of our team, Jim, is going to be in the collective. We're going to hopefully be able to accommodate for a weak link. But, you know, the idea is to develop everyone on the team and become a better team.
And then finally, in terms of development, it's got to happen pretty quickly because you've got a camp next month ahead of friendlies against Panama in late January, Costa Rica in early February. I know you know that. So what are you looking to accomplish in that first camp, which is expected to be mostly domestic players?
Yeah, so that will be a domestic group, and it will be, you know, setting the foundation for who we want to be as a team. So it will be team building, team cohesion, but also style of play. You know, that's going to be really important, getting the players up to speed with how we want to play. And we'll focus a lot on that, and then we'll get to test it in two games against Panama and Costa Rica.
He was introduced as the new head coach on Tuesday, the U.S. men's national team head coach, an 18-year pro, Greg Berhalter, my guest. Greg, congrats. Really good to get caught up. I don't know where the time goes, but really nice to have you on the show, and I'll be watching carefully. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Jim. Nice talking to you also.
You too. Greg Berhalter. All right, your thoughts on that? Talking a little soccer to start the Friday afternoon, Friday morning, wherever you are. That's the thing about this show, right? Sometimes it's morning, sometimes it's afternoon, sometimes it's on demand. Wherever the hell you are, just know this. We're talking a little bit of soccer. Greg Berhalter, my guest. All right, big day today. If you want to get into that, if you're concerned about the national team, if you're concerned about the fact that it did not qualify, do you like what you just heard? Again, I'm not trying to play this up, but it was not that long ago that he was in Southern California. The reason I know Greg, one of his kids and one of my boys, Jake Rome, played Little League Baseball together. And then he went and he began his coaching career. And then he returned as the U.S. men's national coach. Pretty amazing. Pretty surreal. But not surprising. He had a storied and decorated career. And obviously very, very sharp. We'll come right back. Phone lines are open right now. 1-800-636-8668.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question right there. You know I'm going to answer one of them a little bit later on today. In the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I know some of you are in shock that I just did a soccer interview. Not only that, but can I say a pretty smart soccer interview? This guy is. Statical Plane tweets. Straight up, Jim. Is that the first ever serious soccer interview that you have ever done on your show? Either way, I love it when you talk soccer. No, that is not the first time I've done that. I've done other serious soccer interviews. Alexi Lawless was on TV with me. Martin Rogers is a journalist who's done it. Grant Wall, a journalist who's done it. No, we've done that before. Like I said, Greg Berhalter, man, he is so locked in. He is so focused. This guy is so disciplined and so determined, and he's great. I mean, I really admire him, really respect him, really like him a lot. I was more about reminiscing about our days in the hood together than he was. But again, my man's locked in now. He's serious. I just find it a little surreal. Stay in your lane, Siri. I just find it a little surreal. Like, our kids played Little League Baseball together. Little League Baseball together. So, thanks, Avi. That's not funny. So, we'd watch games, and you could already see, like, how analytical his mind was. And not only that, but as I mentioned, we would talk other sports. And I was always curious, like, people come to me like, hey, Rome, what's your take on this? And half the time, they really want my take on it. And half the time, it's a way to get in to give me their take. This was one guy whose opinion I always respected and I wanted to talk to. So, like, normally when I would go to one of my kids' games, and to this day, I mean, frankly, not to be that guy, but I'm kind of into the game. You know, I'm not there to socialize the entire game. I want to see my kids. I want to see how they play. So I'm not saying that I won't hang out with the fellas, you know, but you want to be there to support your kids, right? So I was always really into seeing him there and talking to him. The really interesting and surreal thing to me was he was not the only one. It seems kind of weird to me that a guy who would end up as the U.S. men's national soccer coach would be in our hood, in our public school system. But not only that, another guy that I would sit with alongside Greg Berhalter at those same games was my guy Craig Johnson. Craig Johnson played 10 years in the NHL. He played for the Ducks. He played for the LA Kings. And right now, he is a rising star also in the coaching profession. He's an unbelievable high school coach who's ripping off national championships here in SoCal and also coaching youth. So I'd have these guys on either side of me, a couple of professional athletes. But you have to understand where I live. I live in a bubble just south of Los Angeles. It's strange to have that kind of quality, coaching stars like that, for sports like that. So to me, it is a little surreal. A little surreal, man. That was a blast. I really enjoyed that. So, soccer fan, that's a real thing. That happened. Hope you heard that. U.S. Soccer MNT even tweeted it. 1-800-636-8686. As I mentioned when I did my take earlier in the week, one more thought. You might find a flashier guy than Greg Berhalter. I don't think you're going to find a better guy or a better candidate. That's 100% the right hire. You know, if you want the flashy hire, that might not be that. But you're not going to do better than that. I'm just going to plant my flag right now and say it right now. This guy's going to turn this thing around. All right. Also, on a less serious note, the hack-off. The hack-off is still a thing. And a lot of you are still trying to bring this thing back. And I said, you know, I don't think it still works in 2018, 2019. But if you think that it can work, why don't you let me know who you think the field would be? And then sure enough, on Twitter, they came. TweetDeck was popping. And there were eight people that you proposed. The top eight candidates. Seven of them quickly RSVP'd. They weren't offended. They didn't take offense. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm all about it. Let's do this thing. Josh in Detroit, Matt in L.A., Parody Larry, Lauren in Naples, Andy in Rockland, Dr. Dave in Chicago, Rex in the ABQ. Those seven immediately RSVP'd yes. The only guy who did not was the hypothetical three seed, Jeff in San Antonio, which prompted a call from one of the other guys who did RSVP. Parody Larry not only prompted a call from Parody Larry, but it was one of his better calls in recent memory.
Jim, this is Jim in San Antonio. I'd love to be the hacker. I'm a badass. And please, everyone, buy my baby Jordan diapers. They're already pre-soaked.
Buy my baby Jordan diapers. They're already pre-soaked. Right, so Larry made that phone call because I made the point that Jeff in San Antonio was the only guy who did not RSVP, so Parody Larry did a parody of Jeff in San Antonio. There you have it. So I'm still waiting on Jeff, and when he talked about the baby Jordan line, the reason he did that was because he's got a baby named Jordan, and Jeff very seriously said on this show that he was reaching out to Mike to propose something, that you have the brand Jordan, but he needed a baby Jordan brand. And Jeff was serious. Jeff's like, I'm going to make a hell of a lot of money doing this, Rome. And then we'll see who gets the last laugh. Anyway, I've been waiting on that one last RSVP for the hack-off. Remember the hack-off. The smack-off represents the best of the best. The hack-off is for the worst of the worst. The other seven not only took it in stride, but embraced it. They want in. Here he is. Finally, the hypothetical three. This would make it eight. I'm looking for the RSVP, Jeff in San Antonio. His first call since the call where he said he was trying to effort Mike for the baby Jordan brand. He has not RSVP'd. I'm hoping that's what this is. Jeff, what's going on? Good to have you.
Yeah. Happy holidays, Jim. Glad to see you're doing well. First of all, if I did decide to show up at the hack-off, I'd probably be like the 1,000th seed because, dude, I am way above that. I'm smack-off material. I'm not hack-off material. So I will not be attending, nor will I be listening. And Larry, Parody, whatever that dude's name is, he needs to keep my name out his mouth, for sure. On a more serious note, yeah, babyjordan.com is ours. We're going to be launching it, and we just got to decide between February 3rd or April 5th. So, hey, Jim, I appreciate everything. You've been just awesome to me and my family. And
Jeff, I got to ask you, is that Baby Jordan in the background?
It sure enough is, Jim. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings, and her pterodactylness is coming out. So
oh, hell
yes. Literally carrying the sound across the restaurant.
Love it.
So, yeah, I'm not going to be showing
Dude,
up.
Dude, if you're at Buffalo Wild Wings, you sound like you're on a hard line. Did you go to the restaurant and say, I need to use your phone?
Yeah, and I've been waiting on hold for like 10 minutes. I don't really care, you know? I mean, I've used the phone in a hospital.
Dude, you are.
I am who I am. I'm definitely a badass. And the jungle can thank me anytime for bringing back Jeff in Richmond. I'm out.
You got it. All right. All right, a few things right there. He literally just said it before I could say it myself. He was at a Buffalo Wild Wings. That makes him a badass. Seriously, I love Buffalo Wild Wings. Very important partner of ours on this program. And can I tell you something else? I'm going to be at a Buffalo Wild Wings next weekend. I'll tell you more about that. He's a badass for being there. He's a badass for getting on a hard line at a Buffalo Wild Wings. He's a badass for getting on a hard line in the hospital while his fiance was giving birth to the now legendary Baby Jordan. He's a badass for apparently bringing Jeff in Richmond back to the jungle. But my man said, I'm not going to be a three seed because I'll be a 1,000th seed because I'm no hack. I will not be participating. I will not be listening because I am smack off material. Jeff, you know I got your back. Even if nobody other than me, baby Jordan, and your fiance do. Broham, if anything, that call moved you up from the three seed to the one seed. That was so great. He just said it. Oh, I'm not listening that day, much less participating, because I'm not a hack. I'm a guy who can win your smack off. All right, your reaction to it. And he says that he's right on track, that they already own babyjordan.com. And now it's just a matter of whether or not they, what did he say, release it? Approach Mike on February 3rd or April 5th? I don't know, man. He's doing business. He's doing business. Orion escaped Waterford. He tweets, keep crying, baby. Jeremy and Scotty tweets, bleep this guy. Hey, haters gonna hate. Hey, Jeff, you know that, right? Haters gonna hate. Especially when you're somebody. Especially when you've got a good business idea. Especially when you're confident. Especially when you've got game. Game respects game, but haters gonna hate. You gotta know that.
Definitely a badass.
You are definitely a badass, bro. Stephen Crowtown tweets, Jeff is smack off material? Does he have his wife's permission to be in the competition? Reginald Merriweather III is back. Oh, God, yes. Shoot Jeff's tone of voice directly into my veins. I don't know how you do that, Reginald. I don't know how you can inject somebody's tone of voice into your veins. I could see where you'd want to. I'm just not sure how you do that. Squirrel 2 tweets, was that baby Jordan in the background crying? Or is that Jeff on the set of the newest Jurassic Park movie? I said to him in the middle of the call, hey, Jeff, is that baby Jordan? He said, yes, it is. She is wailing across the entire restaurant with that pterodactyl pipe already. Roger Bland 13 tweets, Jeff in San Antonio seems like more of a Tony Kukoc guy instead of a Jordan guy.
I'd probably be like the 1,000th seed.
I'd probably be like the 1,000th seed. Do you see what he did there?
Dude, like, I am way above that.
Like, the higher the seed in the hack-off, the worse you are. So I said he was a hypothetical 3. He said, yeah, I'm more like 1,000 because I could never win that because I'm such a badass.
Dude, I am way above that.
Dude, you are. Hey, preach. You don't need to tell me that, Jeff. Preach. M. Piazza's back knee. That's this guy's Twitter handle. M. Piazza's back knee. I do not think I have hated anybody more than I hate Jeff in San Antonio. He is exactly what I don't like in a person. Hedstrom Bacon tweets, apparently Jeff in San Antonio is one of those bags that allows his kid to wail like a siren in a restaurant, disturbing the rest of the clients. Jeff, you are so good. Dude, you are team content. You are a badass. Chris and KC tweets, let me get this straight. That badass Jeff abandoned his kid for 20 minutes in a, quote, restaurant to go to a hardline phone. Embrace that fatherhood, Jeff. Bro, Chris, I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kids because I don't want you to tell me how to raise my kids. Man, don't come at this guy like he's a bad dad. Have you heard him on the show? The guy broke into tears before the kid was even born. He's like the best dad. Bad dad. If by bad dad you mean the best dad ever. The guy was crying on national radio like at the 6-month mark. Come on, man. He didn't abandon his kid. I guarantee Baby Jordan was with the fiance or one of the waitresses.
Keep my name out his mouth.
God, they just keep coming. I can't read them as quickly as they hit tweet deck. Rich Micklebus tweets, why does Jeff sound like he's going to lose his fragile mind every time? Freaking unbelievable. Is he really a grown-ass man? Yet that and a badass.
And the jungle can thank me anytime for bringing back Jeff in Richmond.
Brother, thank you for doing that. Hey, Jeff, thanks for everything. Stay strong, bro. I got you. Tobias Harris and Joe Montana next hour. Don't go anywhere.